Welcome to Beating Around the Bush, a podcast produced by the Rural Business Collective.
Hello, I'm Fleur Anderson and welcome to Beating Around the Bush. Many people are looking at the natural and human resources that are in their business and thinking, how can I leverage these assets? One of the businesses is Camden Park Station at Longreach in Western Queensland, run by the Walker family. James Walker joins me now.
Thanks, Fleur. Thanks for the opportunity to have a chat.
The Walker family have been on this property for five generations. You've got six generations on the ground now. But in more recent times, there's been more added to the business and some new feathers to your cap, tourism and now solar, which we'll get into more about in a minute. But can you tell us a little bit about the background of the property here and for yourself, how you came into the business and realised that there was an opportunity here?
Yeah, Fleur, definitely. So I came home from school thinking I'd be here for a year and then going to uni and studying commerce or economics or business. Yeah, and when I got here, I realised, well, there's probably a bit on the go here. So I thought, well, I'll stick around and help the family business out, and I've sort of been here ever since. But still, I suppose, trying to express passion for business through a family business was working. But just recently, since that time of the school, we've gone through four bouts of succession, and now Camden, I'm sort of running as my own ongoing concern. So I suppose having that opportunity to sort of operate, by yourself and make decisions that impact you and your family, as opposed to having impacts on others, is quite good. I suppose what we've done here is I did a bit of situation analysis, worked out exactly where we were in proximity to things, where the highest number of units were in what we do, and then tried to, I suppose, target the units, which is I suppose what you do in business. Where we are here, we're about 10 kilometres from Longreach, so our proximity is quite good, close to town, close to utilities and services that go to town. So what we started off initially with this place was an exhibition property. So back in the 30s, 40s and 50s, they used to have a sheep stud here and Bunuk set up. So they'd have all their rams here for Western Queensland and the broader Queensland. And then it went into a quarter horse stud for a little while it was still with sheep, and then went into a Santa Gertrude stud. So again, the exhibition centre, just because of its proximity, I suppose. The homestead's got a ballroom and it's built for entertaining, I suppose. And then we went into droughts when I first left school, and we'd have this continual boom and bust cycle where you'd feed and where you'd supplement, and then you'd put your stock on adjustment and then you'd get them back, and every year you're going, getting net balance worse and worse. So I thought, well, how about we sort of just go with the season? So all along the journey, because I didn't go to uni, I sort of would just make phone calls and check in with people and network remotely as you can. So I was talking to a university professor and he defined what we do now here as a periodic business model. So we go with the season. So when we've got a good season, we go with it and harvest and make hay and put adjustment on and trade and do what we can. And then when the season doesn't permit, we're sort of looking for that, and we sell early and just batten down the hatches and create other options. I suppose it's what you were alluding to before about the tourism and diversifying, and we just thought Longreach is being a bit of a tourist mecca. There's no real actual hands-on experiences you can get in Longreach. They're all shows or monuments or museums. So my brother, who's talented with people, he's a good guy. So he kicked it off about sort of 3 years ago, this tourism venture. And I think in the first year it had 80 buses booked in. Last year he did 3,000 people through. This year he set up more. So next year it's looking fairly good for him, and I'm sort of helping him with that and partnering with him there. So
it's really interesting the way you describe it, and that professor said that periodic business model. There must have been, was that a bit of a freeing moment too, to realise that you could work with the seasons and that you could, there are some other models out there that you could make work? Was that a moment that sort of changed your mindset about the way you look at the business?
No, I think I've always been a little bit sort of adaptive, so you're sort of always agile and always looking at marketing and blue ocean strategies and and anything that you know, that's interesting, I suppose. It's a little bit, you know, it's fraught with danger because you chop and change all the time. You've got to do it effectively. So when we had a look at, yeah, when I was just talking to the professor about it, we just, he just came up with the definition, I suppose, but we'd always done it. So it probably is liberating, sort of looking at different things, but there's a lot to sticking with, you know, a core focus in business and your enterprises, and there's a lot to say for tweaking and adjusting the performance of those so you can achieve better gains. But the seasons out here don't really permit that. We're in the most highly variable climate in the world, and this area is the most highly variable rainfall area within that climate. So we sort of had to adapt, and I'd probably say that's where you sort of get that character, I suppose, that's synonymous with Western Queensland and farming in general. Like that's probably how it rolls. So.
And did you? I mean, generations before you. I mean, your father and grandfather. They'd probably be agreeing with you wholeheartedly that looking at that variability, is that something that they noticed but didn't have the tourism in the area and those sorts of things as well, or have they seen a real change?
Yeah, I just don't know whether they had the frame of mind to actually change their business model. What they'd do would be just breathe in and breathe out with it. So they'd breed back up coming out of drought or sell down going into drought. So it was cyclical and they'd go with it. But we're looking at, completely different streams from agriculture, because last 5 years we haven't had much opportunity to engage with it. A lot of people have moved away from the area, or I suppose there's been a few that have gone in the agency game and just chasing the units again, and or banking or whatever. So we thought we'd stick with it, and I think their generation probably look at us and go, well, you know, that's probably aided by technology and being able to research and make those phone calls, whereas they were sort of stuck with what they had in production.
I mean, that's something that's certainly changed business now. I mean, our ability to network and to also, I suppose, that culture of, it's much more common now to build a team and ask for external advice, do you think, and building that team around you of mentors and people to reach out to and pick their brains as such. Is that something that you find is important for you going forward?
Well, I think so. I think if you're limited by the thinking that you've got, and if you can help others with adding new insights, it helps out. And they call it appreciative inquiry, where you just appreciate talking to people and finding things out, and you probably see it a lot with what you're doing. But yeah, so we just sort of weigh up, do a situation analysis, see what strengths and weaknesses are, and then go for it. So yeah, so we did the tourism, which is mainly a credit to my brother with what he's driven there, down at Brook, and then we sort of had a look at the other opportunities, and one of the big ones was sunlight, I suppose. Anything that would counter not getting rain, so the radiance in Longreach is quite good. So we established an opportunity there, and we actually had this project sort of fully worked out about sort of 5 years ago that we've currently got here. It's a 17.5 megawatt solar farm. I think there's 50,000 panels and 8,000 posts being rammed in, and I think at the moment there's 46 people on site working on it. So it's about a $33 million project and really good for the local economy. But as a side thing for us, we're getting infrastructure out of it as well. We're getting a lease payment. And we're being able to interact with the project as well. So it's quite good.
Solar seems to be something that there's a real thirst for at the moment. A lot of corporates are out looking around, and there's a lot of talk around it. You said you started talking about this project 5 years ago. How did you go about finding an interested party? Did they approach you? You approached them? How did you go from the idea to that first step forward?
Well, I've always liked. Renewable energy, and solar is quite great. How it came about was just a guy gave me a phone call one day, and we were talking about solar, and then a year later he got a position in a firm, and we started to draw a project up with, and anyway they went bust But when ARENA came out and the Clean Energy Finance Corporation was established, things became a lot further accelerated, and now it's probably, you know, white hot with excitement, you know, the renewables and solar. But it takes particular navigating, so I'd probably throw caution. There's a lot more opportunities that you can engage with, far more than just leasing out, you know, a portion of land.
Yeah, so that has been a traditional model, hasn't it? A lot of people have just gone to leasing a certain section for quite lengthy periods of time too. I mean, 30 and 50 years. Are you starting to see, from what you've heard around the place, different models emerging? Or what do you think the pros and cons are of some of those models you've been seeing around the place?
I suppose the primary sort of aim is to generate income. So people automatically say, well, we'll lease it to you. But there's a lot more. You can actually, instead of just leasing, you can actually engage with the cash flow generated out of it. You can lease it. You can actually sell that lease on, so that income stream. And you can also partner in some of the work. So, you know, from fencing to civil to construction to, you know, sort of disposal, regeneration. There's a lot, you know, that you can engage with. So yeah, so it's probably a matrix really, just not a stand and deliver lease. It's there's a lot, and you really have to navigate it with people that have had experience. I'm happy to talk to anyone. Since this project, our project 17.5 megawatts, and I've probably pivoted about 1.5 gigawatt of projects to different companies since we've been going, and I'm just sort of identifying the best, you know, the best on-ground performers in terms of companies to partner with for farmers, because there's some sharks out there, and, you know, they think farmers are just farmers, but we're actually quite good at business and can see it. But these guys deal in contracts, not handshakes and words, so you've got to be, ready for that and armed, because, yeah, they've got a lot of firepower and they'll position you a particular way. But, yeah, you've just got to have your contracts in place, and they'll make promises that they won't keep unless you've got a shotgun or a hole in writing.
I'm hearing that there's no rush either, you know, take your time and do the deal that's right for you and your business. There'd be a lot of, a company's tied to certain areas. I mean, I understand the company you guys have partnered with is an international company, is that right?
Yeah, definitely. So they've got different investment criteria to ones that I might deal with in hindsight. I think I would really, caution what they do is they get you to sign a letter of intent or a letter of intent to lease, and that will bind you for 3 to 4 years. If they're trying to get you to sign that, you know, that's a good indication that you've got something quite good. I'd probably analyse that fairly closely, and there's some different areas. So where they're actually looking at putting in solar, like here, for instance, I didn't realise at the time, like, we thought we were the only project going in, but there's actually two other projects in the pipeline. We're just more advanced because I had that project further advanced from 5 years ago. So I had to pretty much knock down every blockade and every wall and every hurdle to get this project over the line as it was. But once we got ours approved and out in the public domain, we found out there were two other projects, and just one of those two other projects would have consumed all the capacity in this line. So you've got to be mindful of that, because if the capacity is taken up, you can't put solar or wind in. So it's quite interesting. You'll actually see, once we hook this up in February or March, you'll see the power lines, the high voltage power lines, sag because of the weight and the energy going in. So a rule of thumb is you've got to talk to somebody with a lot of knowledge, and I sort of know those guys now. So if anyone wants to pivot around that, that's fine. But they've got to do a quick assessment. They can do it in a few hours to see, you know, who's at play in your area and how fast you've got to be to get to market. Solar won't be around forever in terms of high voltage capacity, but I seem to think there's an opportunity just in doing your independent, isolated sort of solar solutions, you know, per farm, or even to unlock these swirl lines out here and provide, you know, mini solar farms to them. So it's quite exciting, but you've still got to navigate and run it like a hardcore contract.
So blending a corporate entity into a family business, was there some changes you had to make, or what was that experience like?
I think it was fairly similar to any, you know, engaging with any external business, you know, except this is a more long-term sort of engagement. So, you know, 30 years, 30 to 50 years. So you want to make sure that everything's right, like, you know, you've got your CPI factored in, your evaluations of the land to make sure that's done. But yeah, I think, you know, when you go into partnership, you know, it's like a marriage. You've got to make sure that, you know, that's right, and you've got the right people. But yeah, I think it's quite exciting to engage with corporates. It's not unlike the gas industry, you know, when that was coming along. You know, these guys are a little bit greener, I suppose, in terms of there's some ruthless conduct there in the gas and mining exploration industry, whereas these guys are a little bit sort of above ground, I suppose, and that industry attracts a different type of person as well. So, you know, particularly they like the environment and want to deal with it a lot in terms of sustainability. So I think. You know, bring on the corporates. I'd love to be able to, and we're working towards engaging corporates in family farms in terms of investing in particular projects on the farm and isolating that, you know. And so, yeah, so we're building up good models with what we're doing with, we won't go into AgriHive today, but what we're doing with that, we're doing some interesting sort of things there. And we've got a lot of firepower there now, so we're exploring how we can engage better with capital, and yeah, we're laying down the groundwork for it. So it's taking a little while, but we're making some huge gains. So yeah, there's, you know, once you get your reporting and your understanding of business right, I think you can explore these options. But you know, somebody once said, you know, there's more applied to a system that doesn't work, it's going to fail faster. So you know, so if you throw things on top of a bad system, you know, it's going to be sooner to fail. Whereas, you know, if you get the system and the framework right and then you start expanding, I think that's the main thing. And I think it comes around to clarity. You know, you've got to have clarity on what your business is, do a situation analysis, the clarity on what it is now, what you want in the future, and then you've got to start projecting how you're going to get to that future scenario. So there's a fair bit to just having a pop-up solar farm here and a tourism operation. You've got to match it with your goals. So.
Yeah, it's a really important point, isn't it, about really clarifying about your mission and values and goals and that sort of thing, and then you can assess all these against that, which also helps, because otherwise, if we're just looking for diversification for diversification's sake, we'd be chasing every rainbow.
Yeah, and there's a lot to be said about, someone said to me once, like a magnifying glass, and you know, there's a big flaw in, you know, diversifying, in that you know, you keep moving the magnifying glass around, and you know, if you keep it still on one thing, you'll get ignition, you'll start a fire, whereas if you keep moving it around, you'll you won't start anything, you'll just maybe heat the paper up a little bit. Once you pull the trigger on on something that you want to diversify into, you've got to make sure that you've got time, resources and support to be able to do it. Otherwise, you're just going to spread more, well, you're just going to introduce more risk in your current practices. So it's interesting.
Sure is. You mentioned briefly, and before we go, but you did touch on briefly there about AgriHive. Do you want to just give people a quick wrap-up about what that's about? Because, I mean, that's another tool that we're using about understanding your business better too. What's can you tell us quickly about AgriHive as well?
Yeah, so we started up an organisation in 2014 to tackle issues in agriculture and generate actionable outcomes. So that was their sort of motto. So we had CEOs from all around Australia come out and pull apart the drought situation. So we did a situation analysis there as well, you know, sort of compiled a case study on a drought-affected beef enterprise in the last 8-year financials, challenged CEOs to say, what would have you guys done differently? So it was a really interesting exercise, and the subsequent year we got invited over to the UK to do that over there for the dairy industry as well. So we housed in Westminster over in London, and had a lot of people come in. And then the next one we did it on Capital, and so all in the background, the actioning the ideas is sort of coming into play. So we built a product called Farm Echo for farmers to understand very quickly their financial situation, their holistic financial situation, just not one enterprise, or just not, you know, we incorporate everything. So super, goals. It's a very holistic view, but we've gamified it, so it's very quick to get the data to give you the understanding of where you are, and then project it forward. So I use it quite a bit with our business strategies, and we launched it, the Farm Echo product, in May. We've partnered with a lot of state organisations in New South Wales and Queensland, and from government to industry, and in the background we're just actioning this Capital sort of stuff and building it into the program. And
where can people have a look at that if they're listening and want to explore?
Yeah, so they can give me a call or jump on the website, agrihive.com, or go to Rural Business Collective. We can, you know, get in touch with you and punch it across, or however. But yeah, we'll give me a call. There's no worries about that. We just want to sort of try and really dodge the big shocks in farming and agriculture and make more profits to invest in family farms and the farms that support those family farms, the families that support those family farms. So we're going quite well. We've got one producer the other day realised program within 2 weeks, $40,000 saving in their business. So it's quite powerful. So I'm probably 18 hours a day working on that at the moment.
Amongst everything else. You need to create more sunlight, as well, not just capture it for solar, create more days. Look, James, thank you so much for running through those things with us. I'm sure it's given everyone a lot of ideas to chew on, and it's really great to hear about your experience in negotiating these different arms and ways to leverage this beautiful property you have here. Thanks heaps for your time.
No worries, Fleur. And if anyone wants to help, I'm probably, you know, that's my experience, but I'd... But yeah, it can always contribute to better outcomes for people, and even if they talk to you, I think they'd get a little bit out of that as well first. So thanks so much. Well done what you're doing as well.
Thanks, James, and we'll put some links in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to Beating Around the Bush. If you've enjoyed the content, sign up for more in iTunes or your favourite podcast app. For more information, visit the website at ruralbusinesscollective.com.au and join the tribe of small business owners and entrepreneurs making a difference in the bush.